And the Lord told me something really interesting, that today he wanted to give you a word for your insecurities. A word that would speak directly to your insecurity, but that he doesn't want to deal with it on the surface level. See, the creation of mankind tells us something about the calling of mankind. The process by which God made everything that I see tells me a lot about what he's doing in my life now. And the first thing you'll notice is that God doesn't speak to the surface. A real word from God will never speak to the surface of your situation. That's why advice can only help you so much. Because when you ask a human being for advice, you only tell them the information that you deem relevant. And a lot of times they give you good advice based on bad data. But they don't know deeper down that the reason your relationship is in, what do you call it when it's like shattered on the floor? In pieces. And the reason you have no peace in your situation is because you are constantly critiquing and you are constantly correcting. So they give you advice. Well, you should just leave them. But what they don't know is if you leave them, you take you with you. And sometimes the problem is something that you don't think to tell them. God doesn't give advice because he knows what's beneath the surface. So while you're praying about symptoms, God is prescribing a remedy and a cure for what is causing the sickness. That's what makes him the great physician. Is it just me, or could we go home and we already got our gas money worth out of that? Because I want to know what "and God said." And God said. Because when God spoke, remember, he's been busy. We jumped right into the middle of the creation story. We didn't even talk about all that God did in the first 4 days. I feel kind of bad skipping it because it's amazing stuff. When he said, "Let there be light," and light was like, "Okay." That's crazy. I thought that was amazing until I saw what he did on the second day. And on the second day, when he actually, like, God just keeps like one up in it, because after he created the light, he created the vault, and then he created the sky, and then he created the waters, and that looked pretty good until the third day. Then on the third day, God gets busy calling forth life out of the land that he created and separating the waters so they could sit in their place so he could create a setting for human life to begin. That's on the third day. And on the fourth day, I know you know this already because you study this stuff all week and you read your Bible and you never watch Netflix and you've been reading Genesis chapter 1 too. And you even read it in Hebrew. But let me tell you what I learned this week. He gave the sun and the moon and the stars, which he hung in the sky that he created on the second day. And then on the fifth day, that's why I picked up on the fifth day, because the fifth day, God did something different that he didn't do any other day. Lean in for this. He made it and then he blessed it. Study it for yourself at your leisure, at your leisure. Look and see that he didn't bless the light. He didn't bless the darkness. He didn't bless the moon. He started blessing on the fifth day, because on the fifth day, God started to create the living things. The living things. Raise your hand if you are a living thing. That means you're blessed. Touch somebody, say, "I'm blessed to be alive." Oh, I know you've been complaining all week, but it's in the past. Now look at them again, say, "I'm blessed to be alive. I'm blessed to have a breath. I'm blessed to still have the use of my body. I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to be here. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. But I'm blessed to be alive." Come on, let's rejoice in it. I'm blessed to be alive. He didn't bless the bean sprout, but he blessed the bird. I wonder why. To me, I'm thinking that a bird is much less impressive than a star. But there was something about the bird, and there was something about the bass, fish, the bass and the bird, it's alliteration, people, that God blessed. And not only did he bless it, he directly created it. Now, watch this. Bible nerds, wave at me. Bible nerds, wave at me. Bible nerds, wave at me. You love this little stuff. You don't just need a cliche to rhyme, and you don't need to start with all the same letter, but you really love the word of God. This is for you. When God told the land to produce vegetation, the land brought it forth. When God told the waters to bring forth the fish, it said that God himself brought them forth. But now, I'm gonna blow your mind even more. When he got ready to create you, you messed up you. When he got ready to make you, he did something he didn't do for the birds, the worms, the moon, the stars, the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, the octopus, the crabs, the lobsters. None of them did he do this for. He bent down. And up until this point, everything he made with his mouth because he spoke it. When he made me, he got down in the dirt and made me by hand. Who are you? What is man? The psalmist said that God is mindful of him, or the son of man, that you would visit him, that God would stoop down in the dirt and that divinity would touch dirt. And God didn't leave it up to the land to bring you forth. He got his hands dirty. God rolled up his sleeves. Now I need everybody who's got a messy situation in your life right now to know what your maker did when this whole thing got started. He rolled up his sleeves and he said, I'll make the moon with my mouth. I can hang it with a syllable, moon. And the moon said, yes. And the Lord said, hang. And the moon said, yes. And the Lord said, shine. And the moon said, all right. But when it got down to you, so it seems to me, if we believe Genesis 1:26, that I was made from a mess in the image of my maker, that there is no mess in my life right now that I cannot bring to my maker and expect him to say, I'll bless it anyway. My God. All right. Somebody shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed because God said I'm blessed. And hey, let me throw this in case some of you got any haters. What God bless, no man can curse. What God bless, even your haters are the PR department. Because God is going to use the people who don't like you to fulfill Genesis 1:26. Because not everybody liked Jesus. If everybody had liked him, they wouldn't have crucified him. If they didn't crucify him, he couldn't have died for your sin. If he didn't die for your sin, he couldn't have fulfilled his mission. Is God using in your life the dirt to create and bring forth? Because that's what he did in Genesis 1. And I think that's what he's been doing in me. Okay. Some words God gives you as a preacher are not meant to be shared. And that's frustrating. When the Lord speaks to me, I get excited. You can ask my family. This isn't a show I put on. I'll grab the kids in the middle of video games. Come here, you gotta hear this. And I'll start preaching to the kids, all right? All right. And then sometimes the Lord will give me something that I think is just for me, and that's what happened to me with Genesis 1. Okay, let me tell you something about creative work, because I consider myself a creative person, you know? And Well, I mean, in this area of life, I'm creative. Other things I've never do. I can't do arts and crafts. I don't like arts and crafts. Like some people go through the supply section of Walmart and stuff, and they just get all excited in the craft section. Ooh, glue sticks. I was taking Abby through Barnes & Noble the other day. She was getting excited about colored pencils. I never in my life got excited about a colored pencil. And all of my kids are different, you know, all good at different things. And it took me a while to realize that as God reveals your assignment in life, it will surface your insecurities. There's that word again, surface. Because remember, when God started, show them Genesis 1:2. I pulled this last minute to show you. It said that in the beginning, before God spoke anything, the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. You have verse 2? Did y'all get it in there? I definitely gave it to them last minute, so it's not their fault. But look what it says, that the earth was formless and empty. Now, that just doesn't mean that there was nothing there. The connotation of these words in Hebrew is that it was chaotic. It was not just formless and void. It was chaotic. It was empty, and it was futile, frustrating, like your life sometimes. Not all the time. I know right now you look amazing, but that's your surface self. That's your Sunday self. I will put a Nest camera in your house this week, and then I'll come preach to you, not based on what you showed me on Sunday, but what you dealt with on Wednesday. Don't make me bring a Wednesday word in this church this week that I saw you on Wednesday in the Spirit. The Lord was hovering over the surface, and he brought forth something out of that. So I was going to Genesis 1 because I'm trying to understand not only in my professional life, but as a parent, as a husband, as a man who wants to be like Christ. And some people said it's a midlife crisis, but I don't really look at it that way. I just think it's the process that we all go through of trying to figure out, like, how can I know that God is my father, know that he's my provider, see him do so much miracles, so many things, and still be insecure? How come it even seems like success creates extra insecurity? Because now I gotta sustain it. Now I gotta throw the dart another time and hope I didn't just randomly hit the bullseye. How do I keep this going? How you did that? As my assignment is revealed, my insecurities surface.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.